Ethical living today. Is money a really positive thing in your family, in your life? Is it something you feel like you have a handle on, control over, or is it controlling you? Who's running the show, you or the money in your life? Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living, continuing our discussion from yesterday with our friend, advisor Parkey Thompson, who's really dedicated a lot of his life to helping people with finance and working with people around the country. He joins us from time to time here on Intentional Living, giving some really good intentional living advice and input and encouragement on money. And we got some callers we'll get to as well. But if you want to share a comment with us on whatever you hear or what's working in your life, give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. All right, we're going to get some calls in a moment. But Parkey, first, welcome back today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate that. Before we get to the calls, I wanted to ask this question about the housing market. We know housing prices just went crazy. And I'm sure there's people thinking, well, I should have, you know, that kind of thing. I should have, and I didn't. What's your thought on this? I don't know if anybody knows for sure, but you got people who are renting thinking, should I dive into the deep end and stretch a little bit and get a house and or what?
I can pretty much sum it up in two words. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. I mean, you all know there that we went through this process a couple of years ago where we sold, downsizing, hit the market at what we thought was, you know, a high level. That wasn't our intention. We were just doing it at that time. Houses in my old neighborhood are selling for $60,000 to $70,000 more than they did 2 years ago. There's a couple of houses in our subdivision where I'm looking down the street, even though I can't see there, that are on the market or under contract for $300,000 more than what we paid for our house. And it just doesn't make sense. And so I'm going to, I'm encouraging everybody, unless you just absolutely have to, and I don't know what would be driving that, I'm not going to get in this housing market at this point and compete against everybody else. The mortgage rates are high. It's going to be difficult finding something that you can afford. I mean, I think it's just a no-win situation. I still believe that things are going to come down a little bit in the housing market. And I don't know where that is as far as a timeline, but I do think in certain areas of the country, we've seen that a little bit. In the area where I'm at, Atlanta, that is not the case. But I think other areas are starting to come down a little bit because people are taking control. You mentioned who's running this, who's managing this. And when people start to take control and simply say, it's my money, I'm going to manage it well, I'm not going to get in there and pay these outlandish prices for a piece of property that really doesn't do me anything. You know, if I had to do it all over again today, we probably would not do what we did just simply because of, yes, when we sell, we've got to purchase something else that's going to be much more expensive. We have paid off our house 15 years ago, don't want another house payment. And the truth is, God blessed us with the house that we're in, the way we got it, to be able to do that. But I probably wouldn't do it again unless I knew for sure what was going to happen then, what happened this time.
Wow, crazy time. It's nuts, that's for sure. All right, you know, yesterday when we got into this topic about money, sort of gravitated into the discussion about adult children and relationship with money and responsibility and how do you as a parent encourage them without enabling them financially. And we have some folks that want to follow up with some questions and comments on this. First, Teresa in Arizona. Hi, Teresa. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your comment on this thing about money and adult children?
Well, it's really a question. I have two very loving adult parents that have been sort of waiting in the wings throughout my son's development as a young man. He's on the fourth car that they've purchased for him, wrecked all three before that. Mm. They're helping him with living expenses. He has a full-time job, but he didn't like the constraint of going to college, so they're helping him with an apartment. Now, they're healthy now, but they're getting older. And my concern is he's going to develop quite a bundle of debt for himself. And it's going to hit about when they're needing us to take care of them in their last years.
Now, why are they doing this? Why are they buying multiple cars and doing this? What's behind that, do you think?
I don't understand it. We've spoken to them time and time again. We've explained how this is undermining his resilience. we're trying to maintain obedience. The Bible tells us to be obedient. So with respectful disagreement in every instance, we've challenged their choices. But, you know, for our son, I think the almighty dollar is winning out on his end in terms of who's got the power here. He understands what my husband and I are doing in terms of withholding support, but I think he prefers that easier benefit that he's getting by going to grandpa.
We all would. Absolutely. Can I just ask in general terms, how much have your parents given out to your son over the last, I don't know, few years here?
I would put it above $20,000, to be honest.
Okay. And so he goes to grandma and then grandma writes a check.
Well, it's a little weird. It goes to my mother, got an inheritance from her mother, which she gave straight to my son, bypassing my family completely and not asking permission. Grandpa then, well, he'll go and buy him something. It's almost as if they're in a game of one-upmanship on the expensive layout.
And how old is
your
son?
Do they have any other grandchildren?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there are other grandchildren. And they pretty much shower him pretty exclusively, which is not going to bode well either for relationships in the future.
Yeah, I wouldn't think
Absolutely.
So. How old is your son?
He's 24.
How did he get to be the prince of the family?
I don't know. I really don't know. He's bright. He's sweet. He's very emotionally, I don't want to say manipulative, but he's very lovable. He's mm-hmm. got a really winning personality.
Sure. Well, interesting. I'm going to let you take this one first, Brooke. I have a thought on it, but I'll let you go first.
Well, I hope your thought's better than mine, because you're in a very difficult situation here in doing that. What kind of financial impact, to the best of your knowledge, is this to your parents? In other words, if they keep giving, you know, how does that impact them down the line? And I thought I heard you say at some point they may be needing your help.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, I think they're going to need our help in terms of physical. They both did really well, hard workers, entrepreneurs, just made it from scratch, from their bootstraps. I mean, just incredible people. I don't mean to take away from them at all. They're both incredible people.
Yeah, my guess is, I'm wondering if we were to talk to your parents, they've made this, they're probably figuring, hey, we're going to pass this all on anyway. And I'm wondering if this one grandson is the one who's, well, has the need in their mind, or the one who's asking?
Yeah, I think that may be it. Yes, they're such wonderful people, and he's such a great kid. You know, it's I just feel like he's being set up for bankruptcy, you know, because it's all going to come due.
But the other ones, the other grandchildren aren't asking.
I don't know exactly why. I think that at some point, there's this sort of desire of, you know, money and money and money. And my husband and I just thought, well, we're grown adults and we don't need it. So we love you, but no, thank you. And I think the other relationships have been really strained as a result of not quite coming to that decision.
Yeah.
Which is going to make that situation even more strained when your parents have moved on. And then the children, the grandchildren are left, and the animosity between them over the years is probably going to be very difficult. It's not a good situation all the way around, but I am pleased to know that, you know, at least at this point, it doesn't look like financially they're doing anything to themselves detrimental as far as needing your all's help, because they're putting you in a bad situation if that was the case. I would say continue to be the one who is taking the approach of knowing what's best without it be condescending. And again, continue to do the best that you can to help your child and your parents understand the difficult situation that everybody is in this situation. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing it replicated throughout our country at this point. We're not helping things by doing that.
The other thing I would add, I wish your parent, maybe they're listening. If they are listening, I would say to them, from grandparent to grandparent, you may pay for this later in terms of respect and honor from the other grandchildren, because I have dealt with families when it gets to the estate level that have been split over a trinket in the house. It's been split over something as simple as, you know, some little gadget that went to so-and-so and not to me. And so as grandparents, their wisdom would say, listen, we want to we want to make sure that whatever we're doing is helping our grandchildren to grow and become responsible adults, and we're being as fair as we possibly can with everyone and really thinking about what's the next right one thing to do. The second thing, Teresa, I really want to challenge you. You said that we're not really challenging our parents as heavily as maybe we want to because out of obedience. You know, when the Bible says children obey your parents, that's for children. And when we become an adult and move out from underneath the authority of our parents, the relationship changes from parent to child to, well, still parent to adult son or daughter. It's a respect to respect. And so the obedience part changes. In other words, I think it's appropriate for you to have a really good talk with your parents and say, Mom and Dad, we love you. We know you got the resources, but we just got to tell you, this is our son, and we're really concerned what you may be doing to harm him in terms of his growth. And we'd appreciate it if there was some way we could resolve this in terms of what's going to be fair for everyone. I don't know. It sounds like there's some tension in the family that you guys are facing, Teresa. I don't know how reasonable that is or something that you could do, but I really think you need to have a talk with your parents.
Thank you.
Is that something you think you can do?
You're right. I do think so. I know that they know they're beloved, but they've got to see what's happening here.
Yeah. Well, remember, there's a difference between honoring someone and being obedient to someone. You honor your mom and your dad, and sometimes, you know, we honor them by being able to confront things. All right. Thank you, Teresa. Appreciate your call. Sounds like a very difficult thing. Let's go to Karen. Karen, sounds like you're running through something. We'll put that on hold and see if we can get that taken care of. Got a little rumble on the line. All right. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We're going to talk more about money. I got some questions for Parkey Thompson today. We got some phone calls. You're welcome to share your comments on our storyline at 888-888-1717. When we come back, I want to ask the question, Parkey, on tithing. What do you do when maybe you're either not tithing and you feel guilty, or you're not in agreement with your spouse?
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Get some counseling. Get some perspective before you make a decision, which is the first step in intentional living. Before you really pull the trigger on that decision, you really understand the consequences of what may happen when you do is really important. 888-888-1717 is the number if you want to come and join us. That's an excerpt from the teaching this month, our master class on this topic of being a winner and a loser. What is it? From two biblical characters in the Old Testament who made two different decisions. And those two decisions led them in two totally different paths and destinations. And we'll be sharing that in the lesson this month. You can go to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717. Parkey Thompson's here today. We're talking about money, and we'll get back to some discussion on adult children and money in a moment. But what about tithing? This comes up a lot. Either we're not tithing, and if we tithe, we're not going to have enough to pay the house bill and the gas bill, or my spouse doesn't agree on tithing. I have some that say I go behind my spouse's back and do this without them knowing it. How do you approach this when you talk to someone who wants to honor God and do the right thing when it comes to tithing?
Well, the way I approach it is I make sure that the individual or the couples are doing it for the right reason. It's a matter of obedience, biblical obedience, where God expects us to do that. It's dependence. It's showing our faith upon Him. It's learning to live on 90 cents of every dollar.
That's right.
And bringing back that peace that He's given from us, just an appreciation to Him for what He's done. I think for most people, you have to understand, as we talked about budgeting and so forth yesterday, that has to be at the top of that list. Because if you're trying to squeeze something else, you know, whatever's left to be able to tithe, you'll find that you never can do that. And so it's got to be at the top of the list because it's something that's vitally important to your faith, and you want to be biblically obedient to there. A lot of people struggle. A lot of people struggle, say, you know, I'm not even doing this, but how do I even get started? And I would tell you to start somewhere. Right. The definition of a tithe, 10%, But start somewhere, doing something. And as you're starting this and continuing to do it and watching God open the doors, bay that in prayer, asking God to bless your obedience there to do that, to continue to help you to do that and increase your faith to be able to step forward and continue to work your way up to where you're not even at that 10%, but you're even beyond because you realize where it all comes from with him. Right. I had a millionaire tell me one time, tithing, the way he put this was, tithing is for baby Christians. There is for people to get them to the point of doing that. But when you really understand where it comes from and who you're being blessed by, the fact is you can get way beyond that 10%. He just continues to give more and more and more to be able to do that. I think we lose that until we get to that point. Start somewhere. Put it in your plan. Put it at the top of the list to make sure that you are actually building that into your budget.
Growing the spiritual muscles, for sure. Talk about college debt. We're talking about writing off college debt, maybe, maybe not, and people going into debt. And there's big questions about, should I be spending this enormous amount of money on college today? What do you think about this whole thing on college debt and paying it off and where people are putting their money with education?
Well, I'm not against education by any means, because I think that's key to our society, is making sure that we've got people are adequately trained, people who are ability to do some things. We still need doctors and lawyers and nurses, but we also need car mechanics and plumbers and electricians. And
yes,
so it's not necessarily a 4-year degree that turns into a 7 or 8 year trip to a college town. I mean, the fact is we need to find out what we need to be doing. And if we need to take a year break to be able to find that, let's do that. The availability of college loans, and so easy to get those. The fact that the money is available, college rates are going through the roof and people just continue to go and go and go. And they continue to borrow and borrow and borrow. And I've had people in my office. I ask them, I said, did you not realize that there was going to be a payday someday for these loans? And almost on every occasion, it never really crossed my mind. And I'm like, why not? When you bought that car, you're driving for it. But wait a minute, the car payment started 30 days after you started driving that car. The house payment, 30 days after. That's where it was on your mind. College education, you start getting a student loan. And hey, if you're done in 4 years, that thing kicks in at 4 years and 6 months. Mm-hmm. If you go 6, 7, 8 years, and the longer you go, the longer before it kicks in. So I think we've really got to look and see, do we need a true college education, or do we need an education to fit the vocation of which we're wired to do? On top of that, you're going to look over the next couple of months as part of this debt ceiling bill that came about over the last few weeks. One of the things that's in that is they have to be reinstituting the college tuition payback loans, and that's going to start, I believe, at the end of August and into September when you see that. That's going to be a big impact to people's budgets, to their paychecks, to their disposable income, and getting back into that. But your question was, what happens if we write this thing off? I think it's a bigger question than what happens to the human psyche, but what happens to our economy? That student loan debt that we've accumulated and, quote unquote, that huge write-off that would be, that's been discussed, would be very detrimental to our economy, I believe, in the short term and the long run. You know, it's been proposed at this point that the president wants to forgive $10,000. And that's being held up in the court system as to whether he has that ability to do that. But I think just forgiving any type of loans, any blanket loans like that, is huge. It's a huge impact to our economy and to our own psychology. Well, we'll go out and borrow more. We'll go out and buy a whole lot more simply because, well, I didn't have to pay this off if I can get out of that. When do they start forgiving credit card debt, mortgage debt, and so forth?
Yeah.
I think we need to stick to it. We've got to pull up our pants. And simply say, we've got to do this the right way. We've got to be intentional, pay back what we owe. And I do realize that there are situations where people fall in need. There may be some extenuating circumstances with medical needs and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the blanket stuff. And people need to pay for what they signed up for.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Karen, hang on. I know you have a comment about adult children, kind of a carryover from what we got into yesterday. We'll get to your call and some more questions. Parkey Thompson joining me here in our Intentional Living Center, talking about finances and how to be intentional.
What are the characteristics of someone who's winning or losing at life? In Dr. Randy's teaching, he looks at Nehemiah and Jonah and how they each responded to the challenges and opportunities in front of them and what we can learn from their stories. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching featuring a new topic each month. This month, we have an incredible opportunity, as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar right now. Receive this month's special offer. And to send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, the masterclass teaching this month is on that topic of winners and losers. And in particular, we look at the Old Testament characters of Nehemiah and Jonah, two guys, both challenged, both given commands, both hearts moved, but they took different paths, made different decisions. And those decisions altered their lives. And so we're really talking about decision-making in this lesson this month. And it's coming as a masterclass here mid-month to all of our members around the country. Thank you for your support. And for those who are not part of the team, come and join us today. Just go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 2. We'll take you to our staff upstairs. Now, here's the deal. We've got some friends of the ministry that said fiscal year ends June 30th. Our year ends for the ministry June 30th. Everything coming in is going to be matched. When you share an additional gift or you give a gift, just indicate that, and it'll be matched dollar for dollar up to over $10,000. We have much of that still left, about half of it's left to be matched. That means your gift is going to make a difference. As you join us, share an additional gift. Maybe you're a member already and you share an additional gift. Just let us know and we'll get it matched dollar for dollar. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717. Okay, Karen, there you are in Kansas. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Fantastic. I know you wanted to comment about money and adult children. Go right ahead.
Yes, I just kind of wanted to talk about when it seems to work well. And so I did a lot of prayer for, who my son's spouse would become. And he found a beautiful person. I'm very blessed. And it means a lot to me.
Mm.
I do help them, and we act as a team. And how I'm able to help is that I have a house that they are hoping to buy from me, but right now the mortgage rates are too high, so we're waiting on that. But I'm letting them live in that house, and it's not completely rent-free. They contribute, and it's just making a huge difference.
Sure.
Because it helps her to be able to, stay home with the kids. And
hold on for a minute. We got.
Okay. Yeah, I had an alarm that went off.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I had to pause it. Anyway, it helps her to be able to stay home with the kids, and that's a huge payoff in itself. And it's also helping, my son is very responsible and works full time. Doesn't have student loan debt. He did computer aided drafting in his high school years and mm-hmm. a little bit of college, but then through his work was able to get he's a journeyman, so he was able to get his education through his work.
That's great.
So together, when we team together, me and my son, then it enriches their full life. But they're very humble about it. They're very responsible. It's feeling like it's the, prayerful and right choice to do our circumstance.
It certainly seems like the right thing to do, Karen, because I think you really hit the check boxes that I would have. Was you're helping your son or daughter become responsible adults. They're participating. They're growing. You're not making them subject to you where they can't get on their own. And it sounds like they have some goals. And I think that's probably this thing on adult children. I think it's fantastic when we can help our sons and daughters grow and make good decisions financially. But mm-hmm. where's that line, I guess, Parky? When do you know that, hey, we're not doing this right?
And that's where it's very blurry there. When you look at what Karen said, her son and his wife and their children are staying in that house, but it's not completely free, right? Yep. They're doing something. They're just in a process of finding the right hold of where they can break through and purchase this from her to be able to do that. And who knows when interest rates are going to come down to enable that. But again, it's not just something that, hey, she's giving it to him. And they've got a great relationship here. It doesn't sound like she's really doling out a lot of money. No. Karen, I think you're doing the right thing there. And you know, helping them out in this situation. We always want to help. That's not the situation. There's a fine line between helping and enabling.
Yes, right.
And that's where we get into the situations.
Mm. And you have a great heart as a mom, right? You even have Jennifer crying, I think, in here. Listen, Jennifer is the heart of the ministry here. She keeps my heart going because I'm a head person. I want to solve problems. And Jennifer gives me the little heart signal like, hey, let's have a little heart here too. Certainly that's coming through. And I think that's part of it with money too, because money is an emotional thing, isn't it? It's not, you know, for some of us, it becomes a math issue.
Well,
we only got a minute
so.
Left, but talk about that, because it's really a heart issue, is an emotional issue as well as a head issue.
It is. And the point is, and when you talk about that emotional personal behavior, I mean, when you really begin to manage yourself, you can accomplish a whole lot, whether it's money, physical fitness, career, whatever it is, and just taking the gumption to say, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be intentional with whatever it is.
Yeah. Hello. That's it. Hey, thank you, Parkey, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Enjoyed
it. I appreciate it. Last 2 days, in fact, Parkey Thompson joining us from the Atlanta area, from his home, where he really is helping people with finances and helping us, encouraging us in terms of bringing a lot of intentional wisdom to the program and to our podcast and to our outreach around the world. If you missed yesterday's show or today's part of today's show, it's all available in our archives. All of our programs are available for you in podcast format. You can share them with friends, maybe family members as well, to get some good advice. I'm Dr. Randy. This is the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona. For Jennifer, for Stephen and Gino on Facebook today, thank you all for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And remember, when we think about money, everything belongs to the Lord. It's a gift from Him. He's been gracious to us. And if we're an American, we live in this country, we've been blessed we can't even measure the ways we've been blessed. It's unbelievable. And so let's continue to live intentionally for Him, bringing glory to God and benefit to those that we love. And when we do, well, we benefit as well. So for the entire Intentional Living team, have a great day. God bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow. We'll be back with more Intentional Living. And when you join us, we'll be sharing some things about hope, some encouragement on hope. And I think you'll find it to be very hope-filled. We'll see you then.